Lachlan, Randy Bachman, Sam Roberts, Sass Jordan, Colin James, all of that at Roy Thompson Hall. Were you working at the hall? Like, how did that happen?
What happened was, at the time, I was working with Mark Howard, just co-writing some music. I don't know. Do you know Mark Howard?
Yes, we do. He's the Hamilton. He's one of our famous Hamiltonians right now.
That's
well,
correct.
Forever, really.
Yeah. So, anyways, just working with him, and he at the time that was a benefit concert for the Princess Margaret Hospital, because he was dealing with, unfortunately,
right,
some pretty hardcore cancer. And so he put that benefit together to raise funds for Princess Margaret. And those were the artists involved. And, you know, because I had just started writing with him, he was like, hey, what do you think? Do you want to do backing vocals for all the artists I have coming through? I was like, yes.
You know, so, I don't want to interrupt, but in my process of my mind right now, the first thing that would have crossed my mind is, I'll be damned if Sarah McLachlan or Randy Bachman want me to dance with them on stage.
I know. Oh, I know. I knew I was doing Randy Bachman's. I knew that. Well, Sarah McLachlan, I believe she, at the time, was touring with, what is that band called? Yellowknife. Oh, my God, you're going to kill me for not remembering. Anyways.
It's okay.
But, however, she needed some backing vocalists, and on the spot, she just came over to me, and she's like, will you sing my backing vocals, like, on the day of, and literally brought the other vocalists and I back into a room with a piano, showed us the parts, which, by the way, were, like, color tones and, like, totally, like, nothing I would have ever thought in my mind,
right.
Showed them to us in, like, 10 minutes, and then we were on stage. I was like, I'm doing this.
That's a great experience.
Yeah.
But you got through it, though? Like, it turned out okay for you, yeah?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Little shakes, but I bet you were fine. And what was it like with Colin James?
That was great. He has so much energy, and I grew up listening to him on the radio and just being like, who is this guy? He's
right.
Got it. And so I'm on stage with him, and he's like, I've never had backing vocalists, like female backing vocalists, and we're, you know, bopping around. And I remember my mom saying to me, do you have a crush on him? He had a little more energy when he came on stage.
That's
than everybody
funny.
Else.
Your mom's chirping you.
I know. Totally. No, he has this presence that you're just like, all right, it's go time.
Well, there you go. Hey, man, well, thank you for calling. And we're going to go out on a couple of your songs, but there's no cover happening at the Horseshoe.
That's correct.
Now, have you played there before?
This is my first time.
First time. You are Miss First Time in this interview for everything.
I know. It's all over the place.
Let's go. That's great. Well, listen, have a good show. I'm going to try to make it out, you know.
I love that.
I'm glad you get some great players with you. I'm familiar with Glenn Milcham. Chris, I know. I don't know John Bridgens or Jessica Luckett.
Mm-hmm.
But is this like you're going to be your set band for that night, and I should say for the next couple shows?
Yeah, I should say. I hope so. I really enjoy working with all of them, and they make my music come to life. So,
right. Okay.
Yeah.
And what are your plans after the show? Because I have a couple of recorded songs now, but are you going to plan in the summertime to release an EP, or will there be any more touring involved for you? Are you in that place to tour now?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm in the process of recording my first album, another first going on.
Okay.
And so once that's sufficient enough for me, I'll be going on tour for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you have the guts to go over to Dubai and all those other places, I'm sure you have the guts to experience Canada crisscrossing in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the winter, but, you know, the summertime is a lot better.
Yeah, I'd say.
All right, we're going to spin a couple tracks. Thank you, Amanda. We're going to go out with, you're going to hear Inside, Thankful, but starting things off, Amanda Jean Fade Away here on Steel City Music.
Falls into the cracks as night fades to day. like to like play to myself and like in the room or before we go on stage or something like this, or whenever I feel like, you know, whenever I feel down or depressed or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. I just go on and play. And I can't practice those. It's always constantly, what do you call it, like a jam, you know. It's hard for me to remember any notes because I'm constantly trying to create other things. That's why I make a lot of mistakes.
Do you read music?
No, not at all.
Yeah. You're listening to Steel City Music.
When I think of all the rivers that run through me, all the mountaintops that crumble at my feet, I am thankful for my story, grateful for my fall, all of it that led me here to you. Now every broken heart in me like that,
I lean into the night.
matters only what you felt inside. I could turn back time to when love was only what you felt inside.
time.
I've been a fan of yours a long time, and I actually got your first record right when it came out, and was aware of you, you know, as you made records, and thought I knew you just based on the music you were putting out, and then you wrote this book recently called Horror Stories, and I realized I didn't know you at all, and it's fascinating to get a different perspective from inside an artist's experience, because right off the bat in the prologue you say, my songs have been stories that are like diary entries and ways to express my feelings and look at my feelings. And the book itself is incredibly confessional and incredibly private. And I wondered what the impetus was for deciding to write that confessionally about things that you never had an obligation to tell anybody.
And yet, at the same time, I meet so many people that tell me their personal stories because of my music, and I have been lucky enough to hear from fans that really have carried me through some of the darkest times of their life and used me as, like, a friend or a comfort or some kind of sense of that I'm there for them, my music is there for them, and that I speak in a way to the things that they can't speak about. And I think I've always carried that with me from the very beginning as a sense of obligation, that people come to me looking for some kind of sense of not being alone or that they are seen or heard or felt. And music has been that way for me as well, like my favorite artists. So I think that I've always had a sense, ever since I put out Exile in Guyville, that people were looking to me for more than just a great song or a great album. There was something more that they responded to in the way I presented myself and that they needed from me. And I think that in the world, there's too little of it. There's too little of a sense of, you know, we're in this together. And that it's tough to be a human being, and that the plight of humanity is the same at every level. I think that's something that I like to speak about and make art about, just our humanity, our shared humanity, the things that we all have in common.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Just let go, hear what I say. A million miles away, it's just you and me up in space. You're my beautiful. It's not logical, but I'm what you need.
Ocean of stars.
to a Steel City Music Retro Hour.
Hey, 632 Gunner here. Brandon P. General and Brenna Burns are here. My last interview of the day, and I'm so happy you're here, by the way.
Happy to be here.
My sides are sore from laughing at the other band, Hollowcore. Those guys are my new favorite band. They just sort of got together. They really rip into each other. It's kind of like hanging out with your best friends in high school, just going, I'm just going to see if I can make you sick.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I like guys like that. They're serious, but they're not too serious. Lullabies in Birdland, the Metal Arc session's happening January 25th at the Casbah. But that song is a little bit older than I just played.
That song's probably going on about 4 years, 5 years now, and
Probably longer than that. Maybe.
Who knows? I don't know, but I still play it as part of my regular set. It's one of my favorite tunes. And it's a song. I love crows to begin with, and it's called Murder, about a group of crows. But it's a song just kind of about letting the haters keep their hate and keeping a positive outlook and moving on with our life despite it.
That's a nice way to look at life.
Yeah.
You recorded that with Brandon, produced that?
Yeah, Brandon, actually, in our old home studio. Yeah. So there
that
you
must
go.
Be weird to listen to now. Now, after a long while, you don't hear a song.
I think it holds up really well, actually. Yeah.
I dig it.
That's cool. Is the studio still operational in the house now?
It was a different house.
Yeah.
So, no.
But in this new house, do you have a studio?
A little space in the basement where I record stuff. Like, most of the new record that I did was recorded down there.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was also when Russ lived there, and he had a lot more gear. And
yeah, we had an incredible basement studio up until, I don't know, about a year ago. Yeah.
So you kind of got to, like, get a gearhead to move in with.
Exactly.
No, we really like you and all, but we really like your gear.
Exactly.
I know you're not doing dishes, but if you just get a few more bits of gear, I won't mind you not doing dishes.
That's
probably
the way to do it, you know?
Absolutely. I've been wanting to, like, chat with you for a while now over different shows, but I keep, because Brody messed me and he's like, do you have any more room on your show? And I'm like,
that's a good impression.
Thank you. And he hates it when I do it, by the way. Someday he's going to punch me in the face. I deserve
that's
it.
Right. He's not in the room.
No, doesn't matter. I deserve it. But I told him, I said, she's a pretty busy girl, dude. Like, it's kind of hard for me because the last time I was like, I wanted to talk to you. I had some gear issues and everything because you've been doing the Lucaya thing.
Yeah.
For the last while, the open mic.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
What street's that on again?
That's on Wellington. I can't remember. Upper Wellington between Brucedale and Queensdale on the west side.
It's a nice little spot.
It's an amazing little room. And
what's the owner's name?
Julie Bobiak. Yeah.
Yeah. She was a girl that I met in the early 2000s and late 90s, actually, and she would come out to all the Fat Cat shows.
Yeah, she was a huge Fat Cat
fan.
Yeah,
she'd always come out, and we would always be yapping and all the time, because I used to work at the Casbah, and I was doing the door for them, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, she's a huge music lover,
yeah,
for sure.
It was all weed, draft, and patchouli oil.
I believe that.
That's all it was that day. That's all I remembered. And one song being played for 4 hours. It was great.
Jam bands.
Good old days,
Old jam band nights. $2 to get in to see the Fat Cats.
Oh,
who
be
knew it was be that great of a night? But that she owns the Lucaya Cafe.
Yes, she does.
Yeah. That room holds about what? If I say 15, that's too many people, isn't it?
Did you say 15?
Yeah.
No, I would say, like, on some open mic nights, we get up to 30 people.
You could put 30 people in there?
Yeah.
Standing, dude.
Oh, yeah. Mostly standing.
You've done it?
I've done it a couple times.
I went in there a couple times. I went to see my buddy Gavin.
Yeah.
And I saw Never Never Dave Pomfret. Yeah. Went to go see him. And then I saw someone play the piano for a while. And I went, that thing needs to be tuned.
Yeah. It can't. They've had it tuned a couple times, but it's just so old and so full of character, it refuses.
That's it, eh? It's like, I'm not changing for any of you?
Exactly.
That's great. And that happens every Tuesday?
Yes, every Tuesday, 7 to 10.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just an acoustic room, live off the floor, no mics, no anything.
But do you guys not have a speaker and a microphone there in the stand sometimes? No.
It's beautiful. The only time we have a speaker is if I know that we've got some pianists coming.
Sure.
Because they'd be playing again. Against the wall, and the room sucks noise
but otherwise
it's just kitchen party style.
Okay.
Everyone's sitting around listening to acoustic tunes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, well, I'll have to make my arse get up there again.
Yeah, please do.
Soon, you know, because I'm stuck out in the crick.
Fair enough. You know, I get it. Way out there.
Tell me about this show. How did it come about, the one that you were going to be performing at the Casbah?
Brody got in touch with me, asked me to put on a show, and I couldn't think of...
You couldn't get out of it? Is that what you're trying to say?
I couldn't think of two better. I couldn't think of two better people to put on the bill than my roommates, who I hear playing all
way
the time.
Way too much.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a comfortable feeling. You would take the home stuff and then just put it in front of a crowd.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you guys have all done some shows together, I'm sure.
Oh, we used to play together all the time, Brian and I. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but Tom and I, we run actually some children's programming once a month. The Teen and Tyke open mic out of Lucaya Cafe. We don't have a set Saturday, but one Saturday a month we get some kids out and we have some fun trying to get them playing music and singing music.
That's good.
And that was kind of our first musical foray. And since then, I mean, he just is putting out a new single, or like, he just put out a single,
mm-hmm.
and I think he's getting ready to put out an album soon.
Well, we have that single we're going to play before we sign off. We're going to play one of his songs. What's going on with you, buddy?
The last time
you were up here, we had a really good chat.
Yeah, we did.
We were talking about some heavy stuff. We had heavy content, music, but by the end of it, we were like, I think I talked you into doing a podcast.
Yeah. And I'm working on it.
Yeah. Your voice is like, it's a little messed up, so you can't.
A little bit right now, dealing with the bubonic plague.
Don't. I watched that Netflix pandemic outbreak last night, and I just read the whole thing about in China and the court.
I know.
And I was just like, why am I watching this? It's like going to a horror movie.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to be paranoid forever.
And you have like every window in your house, like you think someone's standing there watching you. It's like, so I was like, I've been in panic mode all night.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't worry. He religiously sanitizes and cleans his hands.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
You'll be fine.
Good. So when this is clearing up, when do you want to launch your podcast and the content?
Well, I want to record probably 5 or 6 episodes first,
right?
And then get it out there on some platform. I don't know when.
What is the subject matter going to be? Just music or culture? Or?
That one, yeah, that one's going to be mainly music. I have a lot of knowledge in my brain that I throw out there for people. It gets really annoying for my friends.
Oh, sure.
I can attest to that.
You're meant for a podcaster.
Yeah, and so I need to put it somewhere, and that's where that's going to go.
Yeah, with me, when I do them, it's an outlet of getting a point across or exposing someone to like some new music, that sort of thing. I never liked podcasts because to me it was all radio.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've like... Oh, years ago, I used to do them, and now I've gotten over this last year and a half, 2 years, gotten back into slowly doing them, that sort of thing. And I upload all these shows on my website on Steel City Music, and you know I use those as podcasts. But I even have to start going back and sitting there and just because my problem is much like and you guys. I don't know if you go through this, the self editing when you're performing or writing a song.
It's terrible.
Is it bad for you? Because with me, it's just like I'll go back and I'll delete hours worth of material.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah.
I'll be like, I don't think that was good. No one should hear that. I sound
afterthought
like a moron.
Is awful.
Yeah. How do you contend with it, Rena?
Oh, my goodness.
You have a nice like clique of people that you live with that you can bounce things off of.
That's pretty much what I end up doing is I try to hush the inner critic as much as possible and trust my friends and loved ones around me to kind of let me know whether I'm on base or off base. Because we're all our own worst enemy, you know, and we're all super critical of ourselves. And I think that it can be really paralyzing if you listen to that voice too much, you know. I think it's important to edit ruthlessly, you know, and to make sure that you're putting out great content. Like, I don't think that it's just about throwing caution to the wind and blabbing on and on and on, musically or otherwise. But at the same time, if you sit with something too long, including an album, a recording, anything, you can end up just butchering it with hypersensitivity, you know?
Will Glipsby and I were chatting earlier around 1 o'clock. He came up and he played a couple songs. He's got a show at the Capitol Bar tonight. And I was asking him, like, who are your influences? And, you know, he said Neil Young for this. And he said Leonard Cohen. And I went, whoa, Leonard Cohen. And he said that, you know, I learned about the poetry and how to put it together, that sort of thing. But Leonard Cohen was, he couldn't self-edit. He just kept writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so even Hallelujah was like, the guy who made it said, I can't do this song for you. And he's like, well, why? He says, it'll be an hour long.
Yeah.
You know, like we got to bring this down and bring it down and bring it down and bring it down. But with Leonard, every word meant something to another thing, which was a setup to another thing and a thought that shouldn't, you know, be edited, yada, yada, yada. So sometimes you do need someone else to go, hey, you know.
This is great, but.
You know. But at the same time, Will also said that with his music, how he writes it is that there's a, he's learned that he's got to find that concise point to the song and stay to that. And he found that through country music.
Mm.
It was a lot like that, where there's, you know, making that point and not going on about other things. You got to make that point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is that anything that you guys ever think about when you're writing at all, Brandon?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Trying to find the point and stick with the point and that's it's something that I definitely tackle or deal with right now. I'm trying to find, find the point.
Yeah.
Like self editing and all that stuff. I especially with the podcast, like I'm trying to like find my voice and I don't want to be boring to listen to and I want to make it exciting for the listener, so trying to find a way to script something and read a script while making it sound natural and like I'm not reading a script, that's got to be the hardest thing.
I used to get hit with that years ago from radio students. They're like, well, how do I sound like Alan Cross? I'm like, well, why would you want to sound like Alan Cross?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, but he sounds so good. I go, why wouldn't you just want to sound like yourself?
Exactly.
You know. And they're like, well, how come he knows everything? And I said, you know, he reads.
Researches.
Just research, and you read. And you type it out, and then you can read, you know, and that sort of thing. You could definitely tell when someone's reading from a script.
Yeah.
If you listen long enough, you go, that there's just no way that anyone can have that smooth delivery on every single thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. I don't script anything. I just take point forms. You know, I couldn't just sit there. And even when, like, I'll read, like, someone's bio over the air, I'll just halfway through it, I start laughing. Because it's like, who wrote this? Oh, you wrote this. And then it's like, how horrible is it to write a bio about yourself?
Oh, my God. It's terrible. Worst.
So you've done it.
I'm just getting ready to relaunch my career, I guess, or whatever semblance of that it is this year. So I'm just getting ready to redo my website, my everything. And I got asked to do a quick bio. And I put it off for 3 days because the idea of writing about myself is awful, you know?
There's the song thing, but how do you talk about who you are as a person from an outside? You'd have to go to Brandon or somebody, right?
Yeah.
No?
Well, yeah. I didn't. I mean, I ended up coming up with a quick 100-word blurb, and that was perfect, you know?
That was it, eh?
But it took a while to get there because it's daunting. It's hard finding the words to say.
100 words, and then just followed up with a bunch of quotes from music reviewers.
Exactly.
That's all you do. And then whoever's interviewing goes, so-and-so said from the Sault Ste. Marie pisswad.
Exactly.
That, you were fantastic. All right.
Perfect.
Yeah. Just make it up. Lie about everything. That's what I always
do. Fake it till you make it.
What's that?
Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. My Flying Machine from the hood of your car. We're going to spin that right now, and we'll yap a little bit more about the show that's coming up and everything that's happening there.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
Lessons of a life that you would never replace are filling up the holes in your heart. Tell me, see you look at the stars from the hood of your car. Wrap my arms around you, warm my grin, you play the guitar. Memories and ghosts from far. Kinda like how you and me are. Shining like a diamond with a smile on your face. I stare until I'm legally blind. Burning like a fire, but I couldn't erase the images of you in my mind. Time to sit and look at the stars from the hood of your car. Wrap my arms around you, warm my grin, you play the guitar. Memories and ghosts from afar. Kinda like how you and me are.
My Flying Machine from the Hood of Your Car. Right there for you. Where did we leave off now? I had like three questions I wanted to ask, but then we started talking about grant writing off mic.
Yes, sorry.
And now I'm done.
You and me both.
Well, yeah, but I'm like, now I'm just thinking, you know, I guess I really should write that thing to the people in the States again.
Yes, you should.
Yeah, I should really start writing that stuff, that sort of thing. And then I
motivation corner.
Well, no, I have the motivation. I just don't think that it's worded properly. So then I delete and go, I'll send it another time. And then I always find another reason to do something else.
Yep.
Procrastination is the devil of us all.
That's what I do.
Yeah, you know, yeah. But you got to do like baby steps. To get to do something, once you start doing baby steps, I find that you're okay.
Baby steps to procrastination?
No, baby steps to get out of procrastination.
Oh, yeah. No. I do the other thing.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Too rusty.
Yeah.
This show should be fun, though. I mean, it's a very low-maintenance show that you guys are putting on the Casbah, though, right?
Yeah. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be pretty packed, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, if people are planning on coming, definitely get there early.
Yeah. Well, you guys have a strong fan base and friend group.
Exactly. And it's a nice, modest-sized room, and yeah. I think it's going to be...
The lounge is great, by the way. I like that small stage that they
yeah,
have.
Yeah, me too.
I've never played on it, so I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
I've been in there for two shows now, and it's a great feel. It's like I really like what they've done with the space, for sure.
Yeah, they've made it move around a bit. I went to one of their open mics a while back, and I was like fiddling around with the recorder, like, you know, testing everything out. And I told the story a little while ago. Some guy got up there and he was like singing the song. I'm like, well, this is fantastic. What a pop song this guy's got. And everyone's like cheering. And he goes again. I go, what song is this? This is great. So I'm about to leave. He fires off another one. Well, I can't leave. I got to hear the rest of this guy's set. This is like, I can't believe how good this guy is. Who is this guy? Like, I've never heard of this kid before. He's fantastic. And everyone's like cheering for him. And then he said, this is the one that got me. I actually got mad. And he's sitting, he said, okay, I'm going to do another Jonas Brothers song for you. And I went, and I turned and went, you made me like the Jonas Brothers now. I'm too old to like the you son of a... I was a little bit miffed at him. I was a little bit miffed. Then I thought, eh, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Right. Yeah,
sneak attack.
It was very tricky, I thought. Lullabies and Birdland, the Metalark live sessions that's happening at the lounge in Casbah. Tell me about the other artist who's not here.
Tom?
What can you say about Tom? Tom's incredible.
Yeah.
See, this is nice. You guys are saying wonderful things because everyone who hasn't shown up for the interview, the band has crapped on them.
Oh, yeah, no. If it was vice versa, we might. Brandon might crap on me. I might crap on him, but we both love Tom.
But Tom?
Yeah, Tom can do no wrong.
Tom and
highly vouchable.
Highly vouchable?
Yeah.
Just a great guy. He's, and it's really fun. He's a music teacher and he's like just a sensational person, like a really fantastic guy. But then on top of that, he brought into the house like this total youthful energy. He's the youngest in the house.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And he's got just this great youthful exuberance about him, and he's like, I want to play harmonica on your stuff, I want to play piano on your stuff, I want to do this. Like, he's somebody who really has a mind for collaboration,
right,
and generosity. So yeah, this was a perfect fit.
That's good,
you know.
Cool.
Yeah.
What's the cover for the show, by the way?
$5 to pay what you can.
That's nice.
Super steep.
Yeah. You guys have any leftover merch to sell, that sort of stuff?
I got CDs. I got some CDs for sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I don't have anything.
Nothing on the fly yet?
Nothing.
Okay. Brenna Burns Raw CD you'll be selling?
Yeah, my winter project. I just sold out of my last copy two shows ago.
Oh, good for you, buddy.
Yeah, but I'm going to be doing a new album, so I'll have hopefully that in the works by June, and that'll be good.
Well, let's get on that grant writing.
Yeah, right.
Let's get all this stuff done. new song from Tom Wayne. It's on Spotify in Brenna Burns. How do you say Russ last name?
Carrier.
Carrier, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it is. Guys, have a good show. Thanks for coming up.
Thanks so much for having us.
And you guys are always welcome to come up. Hope your voice holds out for the show.
Me too.
Yeah, and then let's get on that podcast because I want to hear it.
All right.
Because I got to steal from you too, right? Because I can't keep doing the same crap on my podcast. I got to, like, you know, steal
from
someone
else. We can always collab.
I told you, if you wanted to do a couple just to get you going, I'll do a couple podcasts with you. I got the gear.
All right, let's do it.
But you're not breathing into my mics with that virus you got on right now, pal.
Bubonic.
Can I just quickly plug? Also, next week I'm going to be at the St. Hollywood.
To be doing, yes,
perfect.
You're supposed to do all of those.
So I'm
going to
be full band with my full band next Saturday.
Who's
next Friday?
Who's in the full band, by the way?
Right now, this iteration is Russ Carrier on bass, Ryan Mikhailov on drums, and my good friend Tim O'Reilly stepping in on bass just to fill in, which I'm super stoked about.
Russ is on guitar.
Russ is on guitar now. See, he knows my band better than I do. And I believe that show is with Adam Carter and the Human Race. It's his birthday show, and that's going to be at the St. Hollywood, and Ron Bomer as well.
Okay, buddy.
All right. So that's next Friday. So come out this Saturday for, you know, solo intimate, and then big band feels next week.
Over at the St. Hollywood. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming up, guys.
Thanks for having us.
And here's some Train for you. This is Gunner. I'll see y'all next week.
I've been spinning out of my head. You know, I just keep looking down. And I've been assuming I'd be a new man by now. I've been faking all this, just like them family portraits. I've been spinning out of my head. Train's coming fast. Far too long. I'd like to get back up, but I'm afraid that horse is gone. And I've been so tired, 'cause I've been so tired. And I've been spinning out of my head. Train's coming fast. Train's going faster.
This is CIOY 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
We were leaning on a one-night stand. I was keeping up but no one cared. I was leaving you alone, but still, I was hoping you were still.